Would you please stand and join us as we sing Go Tell It on the Mountain? Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Go tell it on the mountain. Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching, or silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born down in a Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. That Jesus Christ is born. Please be seated.
Tonight we gather in the glow of Christmas lights to celebrate the fulfillment of God's promise. The waiting is over. The hope of the world has come. We've lit 4 candles in the Advent wreath, and traditionally the first one is lit and it signifies hope, remembering God's promise spoken through the prophets that a Savior is coming. Isaiah 9:2 says, "The people walking in darkness has seen a great light." The second candle signifies peace, remembering that Christ came not to bring fear, but reconciliation. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Luke 2:14. The third candle signifies joy, remembering the good news proclaimed to the shepherds. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Luke 2:10. The fourth candle signifies love, remembering God's love took on flesh and dwelt among us. In John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son." Tonight we light the Christ candle, the one in the center, the light that darkness cannot and could not overcome. The Word made flesh, the Savior of the world, the true light that gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. John 1:9. Jesus Christ, our Savior, is born. Hope is fulfilled. Peace is proclaimed, joy is revealed, and love has come. Please join us and sing again. Please stand.
Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, made in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail incarnate deity, pleased as man.
Well, I had a really cool video, and it was cute, too. and you would have laughed, and you would have been wondering, why am I laughing at Christmas Eve? And I had a funny thing to say at the end of that, but now we'll figure it out. Maybe we'll show it at the end. Anyways, aren't kids great at telling stories? Don't they tell stories better than us adults? Usually, and this is all connected to the video that you didn't get to watch, is that the best part of them telling stories is that their excitement is contagious and the mess ups are the best parts. And that's what you would have seen, was lots of mess ups and lots of excitement and contagious and joy about the story that they were telling, and that is the story of Jesus. And that is a great story. We'll just skip it, guys, and we'll come back to it later. I appreciate that they're always working to make sure that we're going to do things just right. The story that we're talking about this evening is the greatest story ever told. It's a part of the greatest story ever told, because God's story, his history, is the greatest story. And the nativity, the birth of Jesus, is a part of that. And it's a really, really vital part, but it is a part of the greatest story ever told. This December, our church has been approaching the Christmas and the Advent season, because Christmas is the day that we celebrate and we remember that Jesus was born. Advent is the time of year where we wait and we prepare ourselves and we get excited about the coming of Jesus. And so we've been looking at this time period with the question of, what are you looking for? And to be quite honest, we've looked at a few things that we've been possibly thinking about that we're looking for. And we talked about some just general ideas, gifts and ideas and food and things that we didn't talk about were things that kids would probably enjoy a whole lot more, like the Elf on the Shelf. Or does anybody do the Elf on the Shelf? A few people do, I think so. And then I've heard of families that do the Christmas pickle that sits in the Christmas tree. I don't know anything about that. That must have been come around later after I grew up. But we think about things that we look for. We have a variety of things that we're keeping our eye out for. But if we dig a little deeper, and this is where I want to spend a little bit of time. If we dig a little deeper, there are things that we are looking for in our lives that really matter. Like peace in the moment. That's a precious commodity, isn't it? Seeking peace or answers to questions. We all have questions on why this happened. And sometimes we're looking for answers. We're looking for joy and chaos. In the midst of everything that's going on in the world that we have around us, can we experience a little bit of joy? Or love at no cost. Love that just is given freely. Sometimes we're looking for acceptance from a loved one, from a friend, from groups of people, maybe even a church. We're looking for acceptance. Ultimately, we're looking for acceptance with God. The final thing that I think that we're all looking for is hope. Hope in a variety of ways. Hope that things will be okay. Hope that what we've endured will be worth it. Hope that the weight that we've been dealing with will soon be over. Or hope that we're gonna survive what we're going through. And to be quite honest, we're not the only ones that have been dealing with this issue of hope. People throughout history have done exactly what you and I are doing in our lives, where we're looking for answers, we're looking for love, we're looking for joy, we're looking for acceptance, we're looking for peace, but we're also looking for hope. Hope that lasts. Hope that means something. Hope that is bigger than what we think it is. And this is where God comes into play. Because God would instill throughout his story little glimpse of hope along the way in his story. The first one took place in the early days of creation. Genesis 3 tells us the story of the first man and the first woman, Adam and Eve, and tells us the story of their fall, their sin in the Garden of Eden, and the resulting consequences. And God says something that is quite unique, and he says, I will put enmity, he's talking to the serpent and Eve, and he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers, and he will crush your head and will strike his heel. Now, this is a prophetic statement that God speaks, and he's saying that one day, there will be a day when sin and death will be crushed, and it will be through the offspring of Eve, the perfect, the holy one that one day would come and be victorious over sin and death from the cross. And that is a hopeful promise of restoration, a hopeful promise. God speaks those words. And then later on, in another passage in Genesis 22, where God foreshadows providing a true and perfect sacrifice in Jesus to be the Lamb of God that would bring forgiveness. And he does this through Abraham and Isaac. He tells Abraham, go to the place that I show you and take your son and sacrifice him there. Abraham is obedient and he does what he's supposed to do. And he goes all the way to the point of building an altar, putting wood on top of that altar and tying up his son, placing him on the altar and raising the knife. That's how faithful he was. And God sent an angel and said, don't touch that child. Don't touch that boy. And right then a ram was seen and it was caught by its horns. And that was a hopeful picture of God's grace. God was sending hopeful moments all across history. Isaiah would write words describing a virgin birth and then crucifixion all 700 years before the events would take place. And he wrote these words in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. He says, therefore, the Lord will himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with a child and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. And this is a hopeful promise of God being present with his people. God being present with his people, Emmanuel, that God walks with us. God with us. And then in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, we have another prophecy about this child. And it says this, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom and establishing it and holding it with justice and righteousness from that time on. And this is a hopeful promise of God ushering in his kingdom. A hopeful promise. It would be said of David, King David, that is, that his throne would never end, and that he and his family, his line would last forever, and his descendants would sit on the throne and rule forever. And he's really, this prophet is really talking about Jesus. And the prophet Micah says this. He would remind the people about David's throne and the place in which the child of promise would be born. And he writes, "But you, Bethlehem of Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruled over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." A promise of fulfillment, a hopeful promise of fulfillment. God, along the way throughout history, has been declaring that there is room for hope in his story. There is room for hope for you and I to trust and to know that God will do what he says he will do, that God will lead where he says he's going to lead to, where God will fulfill and keep his promises, and we can trust in that. And this leads us to our story tonight, 2,000 years ago, give or take. And the hopeful promises of God begin to come together, where God in his divine wisdom would send a messenger to speak to a young woman, Mary, who knew of God's promises, yet had the same hopes that you and I have, that everything will be okay, that we wonder and will we have the hope to know that we will make it through this, that the wait will soon be over. Mary gets this most extraordinary message. A child will be carried in your womb. A name would be given, and his name is to be Jesus. And along those same lines, he will be called Great and the Son of the Most High. And we remember, because we've already heard this evening, that he will be Emmanuel, God with us, Messiah, which means chosen one or anointed one, Prince of Peace. Jesus, the one who is promised, is the Prince of Peace. Sometimes we need a little bit of peace in our lives. We feel a bit overwhelmed. Well, when we need peace, we need to find the one who is peace, the Prince of Peace. And he was also called the Everlasting Father. In Luke 2, the story doesn't stop there, but the angel says that he, Jesus, will reign forever. Reign forever. He will be King, Prince, Everlasting Father, Messiah, Lord, Great. He will be Jesus forever. The hopeful promises being fulfilled. Are you seeing and connecting the dots? But that's not the end of their conversation. The angel shares with Mary that God will do this through the power of the Holy Spirit. And just so you know, your cousin, who is considered to be quite old, she's already in her sixth month of having a baby who they thought she would never have a baby in her life. A miracle was performed in Mary's cousin and was about ready to be performed in her own life. And Mary hears all this. Her courage is boosted. Her trust is strengthened. And her faith is emboldened. And she says some amazing words in response. Here's what she says. After being told, you're going to have a child and you're 13 to 18 years old, can you imagine? She says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Those are some of the most intriguing, interesting, and powerful words of obedience in all of Scripture. Because this young woman is obedient to the place of saying, angel, what you're saying is going to happen, and I'm God's servant. If only you and I would have that type of obedience. I pray that we do. But that's not the end of the story. Yeah, that's a great part of the story, but that's not the end. Fast forward 9 months later, and we have this beautiful nativity story that takes place. The shepherds are out in the fields, watching their flock at night, maybe sitting around a campfire and wondering, what's tomorrow going to bring? Is Larry the sheep going to run away? I don't know if they named their sheeps or not. You can't even say sheeps. That just doesn't sound right. They're wondering, we're just going to hang out and watch the sheep and hopefully none of them run away so that we don't have to find them tomorrow. And then out of nowhere, a light shines in the sky. An angel appears and tells them to be not afraid. Fear not. Don't get scared. But wouldn't you and I be very scared if a light in the sky just began to shine and then all of a sudden an angel appears and then all of a sudden you have a host of angels that is singing to the high heavens and they're told that there is a child that has been born and he is the Messiah? What would you do? What would you do? But let's talk about the place that they were at. They were in the place called Bethlehem. And we heard about that just a little bit ago, where Micah says that it was prophesied that in this town, Bethlehem, which was a small town, the town where David, King David, was born, would be the place in which the Messiah would be born. Bethlehem is also called the house of bread. That's what the city was known by, being called the house of bread. And it was this child who was being born on this night that we celebrate, that one day he would say that he is the bread of life. And anyone that would feast on him would live forever. Bethlehem, the child would say that he is the bread of life. But something that you might not have known about Bethlehem was that it was known for its sheep, its flocks. And it was these flocks of sheep that would often be sent to the temple in Jerusalem, just about a mile away, and they would be used as offerings from Bethlehem in Jerusalem as the sacrifice offerings for worship. And especially the perfect, unblemished lambs would be sent, meaning that these lambs, these sheep, were pure white, no blemishes, no spots, no defects, perfect and clean. And it would be these sheep that would be taken to the temple for offering. The hopeful promise of fulfillment. Jesus was born in that exact same place, Bethlehem. He was the perfect Lamb of God, and he would go to Jerusalem one day. One other thing that I want to bring to your attention is the manger. Jesus was born and laid in a manger, and the angel told the shepherds, "You will find the child wrapped in cloths and placed in a manger." That's there for a reason. It's not there just to make a nativity scene be beautiful. But a manger was a feeding trough, the place where animals would eat their food. And many times, mangers were made of stone, cut from large pieces of rock, designed to feed and protect. You see, when lambs were born, they would be inspected. They would be checked all over, and then the perfect ones, the ones that were pure, the ones that were clean, the ones that were white, the ones that had no defect, no dark markings, nothing, would be the ones that would go to the temple for offerings. And while they were young, especially when they were nearby Bethlehem, they would place them, these young lambs, in a manger to protect them, to keep them safe, to not get any blemishes, to not be damaged. And Mary, she and Joseph would place this child, the child of hope, the child of promise, the Messiah, the anointed one, the one who would become king eternal, the one who would die on a cross and do what you and I could not do, live the perfect life, live a sinless life. Mary and Joseph wrapped this child and placed him in a manger. Not only was this story of what was, not only was this what the angel said, but it was also understood by the shepherds that this child was something greater, that he was and is the perfect Lamb of God. That this Jesus, the hope of the world, is the hopeful promise, that this Jesus is the picture of hopeful God, hopeful of God's grace, that this Jesus is the hope of Emmanuel, God with us, that this Jesus is the one who is hopefully ushering in God's kingdom, and that this Jesus is the promise of God's fulfillment. That's who we're celebrating this evening. That's who we're worshiping. That is the one that we are holding on to tonight as we worship the Lamb of God, the one who was placed in a manger, the perfect Son of God. So what do we take home with us this evening? Simply put, I've said it probably about 30 times, hope. Hope. Truth is that we can have hope that no matter what is going on in our lives, there is hope. We will get through it. We will survive. The wait is worth it. The difficulty will pass. You see, there's always hope. And his name is Jesus. That is the hope of the world. Jesus is the hope of the world. He is the one you can hope in and you can trust in and you can believe in. And let me put it this way. If that is not where you have placed your hope at, let me encourage you this evening. You need some type of anchor in your life. And no other anchor will do except Jesus. If you have any other anchor in your life, you'll always feel wanting, like you need more. But Jesus fulfills. He takes that hole that we feel that we can't close in our own heart, and he closes it. He fills it. It's a God-shaped hole in your life. And Jesus fills it. And all you have to do in simple faith is accept that you are not perfect. Believe that Jesus was born and did what we could not do, die for our own sins, and confess that you need a Savior. Pastors love to use acronyms. I think that's the word. I might be messing it up, but A, B, C, accept, believe, confess. We're known for that. But accept that you are not perfect. Believe that Jesus was born and did what he came to do, to die for our sins, and confess that you need a Savior. If that's you tonight, don't hesitate. Don't hesitate to say those words. And I'm going to pray in just a moment and invite you to do that. But maybe there's someone else here who is saying, you know what, I already believe that, but I know that I have kind of wandered away from my walk with Jesus. Well, you can pray a prayer as well in asking God for forgiveness and the courage to get back on track. And that would be just fine. And you can pray along with me in that way. But let's pray and express not just gratitude, but excitement that we have a hope in this world. And his name is Jesus. Let's pray together. Father God, we come to you this evening recognizing that you are a hopeful and a hope-giving God who speaks to us along the way of our lives and has shown us the way in which we should go. You have walked with us, you have guided us, and you have brought us here this evening. In an act of worship, we sing songs about your son Jesus, and knowing that we celebrate Christmas for a reason and a purpose, to remember that Jesus physically was born here on earth, lived among us, was our Emmanuel, God with us, and did what we could not do in dying on the cross in years to come. And we'll remember that at Easter time. And Father, we know that we can have hope in you because you are the hope of the world. Your son Jesus is the hope of the world. And I pray, Father, that there might be someone in this room this evening that has never placed their hope in you, their life in you, their trust in you. And I pray, Father, that you would, through your Spirit, your prevenient grace that goes before us, speak to them even now and encourage them to take a step of faith this very evening. And if they have the courage, Father, to say, Jesus, I accept that I have fallen short. I have sinned. And they can be praying that in their own hearts right now. I believe, Jesus, that you were born and lived among us and died for my sins. And I confess that I need you as my Savior. Fill me with your presence. Lord, I pray that if that is on the heart of someone this evening, God, will you just guide them? Will you encourage them? Will you encourage them to come and see me after service this evening and talk to me? For others, Lord, there's just a gentle reminder of, Lord, help me get back on track. I've already given my life to you, but I have fallen away from you. I've not quite lived up to any type of relationship with you. And so, God, will you just encourage me? Give me the strength to make adjustments. And Lord, if that is what you are working in a person's life tonight, Lord, I pray that you would speak and that they would respond. Because you are good, Lord. You are good. Be with us this evening. As we remember communion this evening, God, will you guide us and direct us? Lord, we love you. We give you praise and glory. And in Jesus' name, amen. When you came in the sanctuary this evening, you received an element of communion. And I would like to, if you did not get one of these, we have someone in the back that can come and bring you one. Just raise your hand and we'll make sure that you get one. Extend it very high in the air so that you can, we can see you. But these elements of communion are here for you. They're reminders that as we take communion, we are celebrating the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. You have two portions of your cup. The smaller side is for the bread, and you can open that up and take the cup and or take the bread and hold it for just a moment. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, before he went to the cross, he took a different kind of bread, but one that would symbolize his body, remembering that Jesus is the bread of life. And anyone who would feast on him would have life. And as we take communion this evening, in just a moment, keeping hold of the bread, we're reminded that Jesus is our life. He's our hope. Now, you might have come from a different tradition that takes communion in different ways. But here at Living Hope, we do not require you to be a member of our church in order to take it. We just ask that you're a follower of Jesus. And so if that's where you're at, by all means, please take communion with us this evening. If you have made that commitment for the very first time this evening, there's no better way than to celebrate communion and accepting Jesus at the same time. So please, by all means, take communion with us as well. But the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he said, "This is my body given for you. Take and eat." And then that same night, he took the cup and he told the disciples, "This is my blood given for you." Jesus would go to the cross and his blood would be shed for the redemption of sins. So please open up the top and be prepared to drink. This is the reminder of Jesus's blood that was shed on the cross for you and for me, for the redemption of our sins. Take and drink. Please pray with me. Father, we thank you that we have opportunities such as these to not just work our way through an act of grace, which communion is, but to be reminded that at this Christmas season, it's not just about your birth, but it is also pointing towards your death, burial, and resurrection. Without your birth, there would be none of that. And for that, we are eternally grateful. And so, God, thank you. Thank you that we get to celebrate and remember the big picture. That we get to remember and celebrate the culmination of your work here on earth. And we look forward to your second coming, your second advent. And so, Lord, Jesus, come. Lord Jesus, come. We thank you. We love you. And we give you praise and glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we come to the final part of our evening together. And each of you have a candle somewhere sitting nearby. I want to just draw your attention to them for just a moment because they have those fun little paper protectors there. And sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. And I do apologize if the wax gets a little warm. But we're going to pass the candle and light the room up, and we're going to have the lights dimmer in here as much as we can so that when we sing Silent Night, that's the wrong button. When we sing Silent Night, we'll be able to experience the light of Christ. In the first chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus is described as the light, and the darkness could not hide him. Jesus is that light. He's the light of the world, and the darkness cannot stop Jesus's light. In fact, light can't be stopped unless it's extinguished. And my hope for you this evening is that the light of Jesus that is either being birthed in you tonight, or the light of Jesus that has been birthed in you throughout your life, that it would never stop. And that it would be infectious, contagious, so that it would pass to other people. May the light of Jesus that we light this evening not stop with you, not stop with me, but be passed to others around us. The light of Christ. And as we light these candles, feel free to stand up.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child,
As you look around the room, you can almost see just as good as you did when we had the lights up. Because there's the light that we all contain, that we all hold. And may the light that is symbolized by the candle in your hand, that is the light of Jesus, never be extinguished in your life. May it continue to burn brightly for our Lord and Savior. May it continue to burn brightly for our Lord and Savior. May it pass from one to another. Amen.
Amen.
You may extinguish your light. Knowing knowing that we never extinguish our light. We keep it lit. We keep our lives lit for Jesus. I want to just thank you all for joining us this evening here at Living Hope for our Christmas Eve service. It's a joy for us to have you here. And a couple of things that I just want to remind you about is that this coming Sunday, we are having a potluck brunch, and we would love for you to join us for that. It starts at 10 a.m. At 10 a.m., we will eat and we will enjoy time together as a church family. And then we will have a short devotional, and then that will be all for that day. The other thing is that in the back hallway, we have an area for you to take family pictures if you would like to, and we would love and invite you to do that. The other thing that I wanted to just take a moment and say that there are one in particular, a young gentleman by the name of Jared Kenchlow, approached me and said that today is his mom's birthday, and he would just want to wish her a happy birthday. So happy birthday, Faith Kenchlow. And then I remembered that it is also Jacob Rosales' birthday today too. So happy birthday, Jacob. Happy birthday, Faith. It's a joy for you guys to be here on this evening. From my family to yours, Merry Christmas. Thanks so much for joining us this evening. Have a wonderful Christmas Eve and Christmas Day with your family. Have a great day.